listen to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 29th, 1999.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or good morning, wherever you may be across this great land of ours and beyond, actually. The Tahitian and Hawaiian Islands out west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. It's going to be a packed show tonight. It has been a while. When we last spoke to Major Ed Dames, SciTech's Major Ed Dames, a remote viewer involved in the original military remote viewing program, he was about to endeavor to remote view Satan. We talked a great deal about that, Ed and I did, on the last program, and I wasn't so sure it was such a hot idea. I'm still not. Ed is ensconced all by himself on the Big Island. I talked to his wife. She was pretty concerned about him. I talked to Ed. I was a little concerned about him. And we've done almost no discussion prior to the show, so we're all going to find out together how Ed Dames is and how the project is going. And, of course, we'll talk about a lot more. Just a couple of things that I want to touch on very quickly. One, this is really important. We're scared to put it on the website because of legal issues. But I want to read you what I've got here. It simply says, Y2K issue, dear Art Bell. I am employed at one of the top three international and national telecommunications providers. There's AT&T, Sprint, and GDE. The following is a page from a typical client order for regular telephone service. The client requested part of her service extended out a year. Take a good look at the second line beginning with 1800. The due date is supposed to be 1-1-2000. But guess what? It came up 1-1-1900. This is on the software we just installed. It is what we are telling the world. We're telling the world we are Y2K compliant. This controls every aspect of the consumer's phone service. Thought you might be interested. Please withhold my name and number. And we're not even going to publish this, although we have it. He had blacked out the customer's name and so forth and so on. However, beginning to wonder as a result of this, those that say they are Y2K compliant quite apparently are not. Indeed, due date changed to 1900, 1-1-1900, and they never got the service, needless to say. Now, what does all this mean? It means the more that I look at and receive information on Y2K, the more I am becoming suspicious that many who say they are compliant are not, or and may not be lying. They simply may not be aware. But this was from a major telephone company. We're afraid to post it for legal reasons. It would be obviously embarrassing for them. And it could be used by their competitors, and so we chose not to post it. But I'm telling you, I've got a copy. Keith has a copy. And it's serious. In the news, just a couple of items. Lewinsky receives witness subpoena. They're going to interview her in her plush hotel. Not enough votes to convict. This trial should be over, but it's not yet. The intent now of the trial, since everybody knows it's all over and the fat lady has had her tune, appears to be to inflict maximum political damage. Attorney General Reno is not going to seek an independent counsel to investigate former White House Chief of Staff Harold Ickes. Some are happy, some are very unhappy about that. A federal appeals court Friday upheld a federal law that makes it illegal to purchase computer images that look like children engaged in sex. Look like, key phrase. The decision overturned the ruling of a lower court judge who declared the law unconstitutional. Well, good. All right. It does seem there are a couple of other things that I would like to update you on. Linda Moulton Howe is going to be here on Monday. There's a lot of really strange and not good stuff going on. Down in Louisiana, thousands of blackbirds are dropping dead. Dropping dead. And we thought we knew why. We don't. I got an update from Linda Moulton Howe today. She's contacted the appropriate people. And the fact of the matter is, the scientists have no idea why these blackbirds are dropping dead. Thousands and thousands and thousands of them dropping dead. Now, one more little item. This comes from the San Luis Obispo County Telegram. If you want to check it out, a Cal Poly entomologist and local activists are going to hold a press conference this morning to draw attention to the plight of the Western monarch butterfly. Butterflies apparently are at critical mass. The sites that harbor large colonies are disappearing. We are about to apparently lose the monarch butterfly. Also, I think I better read you this. This comes from the Associated Press, so you don't think it's just me. Entitled, Ocean Changes, Worry Perplex Experts. Portland, AP. Scientists say the North Pacific Ocean is acting, their words, strangely, and this time El Nino may not be to blame. Marine scientist Vicky Osis, that's O-S-I-S, Osis, says it's not the same ocean that it was 10 years ago. Plankton species normally found off Oregon have been changing now for a decade. Seabirds have been dying or disappearing in disturbing numbers. Mole crabs, usually found in warmer climates, have become common on beaches as far north as Astoria, Oregon. Even the whales are behaving oddly. About 23,000 gray whales pass Oregon every year, blowing their spouts within sight of the beach. But for the past 2 years, the whales have been farther out to sea and arrived late. Robert Pitkin of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, he's a biologist there, says the seabirds have been starving. Starving. And he says that means the ocean is not healthy. Also says scientists don't know what to make of the changes. Now, I think we're all in a slowly heating, soon-to-be-boiling pot environmentally. And I've been saying this for years, and I think the signs are all around us if you want to read them, if the American press wants to report them. These are all solid sources I've given you. And if you were a miner with a canary in a cage in your hand right now, it would be limp, in my opinion, and at the bottom of the cage, and you should be wondering if you might not be next.
Take Coast to Coast AM with you anywhere on your mobile phone. CoastToCoastAM.com can be conveniently accessed on your iPhone and most Android platforms, which means that you are never without your Coast to Coast AM fix. If you're a Coast to Coast Insider subscriber, you can listen to the show live in the middle of the night or previous shows 24/7. Plus, you can browse all the great photos, videos, and news stories. Keeping up with Coast to Coast AM has never been easier with our Coast Insider service.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com. Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
One more item, and that is from Linda Moulton Howe, a late update. Art, I've talked with Wanda Hudson, who reported the dying blackbirds, and to the veterinarian pathologist at LSU, Dr. Simon Shane, who's done autopsies on six of the birds. Bottom line now, no physical abnormalities in any of the birds, nor any sign of disease. Best guess? Pesticide ingestion, possibly? Toxicology exams are underway by Wednesday or Thursday next week. Dr. Shane said he'd let me know what they found, what more, if anything. Also, to help corroborate analysis, more birds will be sent Monday to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Disease Lab in Madison, Wisconsin. Further, in today's newspaper in Marouge, Louisiana, it was reported that 400 snow geese died at the Tenasus River National Wildlife Refuge this week, about 100 miles from Marouge in northeastern Louisiana, where the blackbirds are sick and dying and have died since Monday, January 25th. So add to it now, tragically, 400 snow geese. Dead canary time. All right. As you know, Ed Dames is in Hawaii. He's in a very secluded private location. When we last heard from him, he was going to go and remote view Satan. The concept, the idea, the entity, whatever it turned out to be, we're about to find out, I guess. He was in the military's remote viewing program. He now runs a company called SciTech that does private remote viewing, which I guess can be described as a disciplined form of psychic ability, which most people have and most people don't use. There are naturals and there are people trained to do this. Ed Dames was trained to do this. I've got his military record. I know exactly what he did. In fact, I've got his full military record. Do you remember when that was sent to me, Ed?
No.
You don't? Okay, well, it was sent to me. Your vice president sent me your full military record, so I actually have that on file here. Didn't know that. Ed, how are you?
I'm rather shell-shocked. It's good to hear your voice. I'd be I'd be disingenuous if I didn't say I was a little demoralized and despondent, but shell-shocked is probably a good overall term for 5 weeks of work, in this case, research.
Before we find out, I guess, what you found out, I would you recall I was trying to prevent you from doing this. I was suggesting I thought it was very dangerous. if you were to endeavor to do it all over again today, knowing what you now know, whatever that is, would you do it?
Probably. Yes, I would do it again. By the way,
Art,
if the toxicologist can't ascertain the etiology of that ailment that brought the blackbirds down, that's a pretty easy thing.
And now the geese, too.
That's quite an easy thing for us to do, so we'll give them a few days, and if Linda comes back with a negative, then we'll take that on. And also, I'd like to mention, since you did, about the starving seabirds.
Yes.
4 years ago, I conducted an in-house study of all everybody in the team worked this. When we used the word quickening, which was your term, and starving seabirds happened to be a hallmark, one of the key hallmarks of that the quickening resulted in a technical remote viewing topical search.
Yeah,
business would call that a topical search.
Yep. Well, you heard me. You just heard me, Ed, read some number of stories about what's going on right now, and I don't know whether people are becoming used to hearing about this. Oh, 100 birds there, 1,000 birds there, homing pigeons that don't go home, birds dropping out of the sky by the thousands.
No, we're going down.
Are we beginning?
We're going down ecologically.
Yeah, we are. It's just that this is, you know, every day it's being fed to us a little piece at a time. It just doesn't seem to me you need to be a rocket scientist nor even a remote viewer, Ed, if you simply stand back and read these stories and look at what's going on in the oceans with our wildlife. It's beginning to move up the chain.
Yeah, it's a confluence of events now. There's no need to really do any predictive work anymore. It's because it's an in-your-face thing now.
I've already
moved. My company is almost completely moved
I'm aware
to the Hawaiian Islands, and we've done that as a result of what we've seen over the horizon using our tool.
Well, you've been in Hawaii for a while. How do you like it?
Where I am at,
mm-hmm.
I'm in paradise, and that's a good thing, considering the work that I've been engaged in here. I listened to your show the other night, and I caught a piece of show where you were talking about shooting your equipment.
Oh,
you have to be careful, because that can backfire. I want to tell you a story about a demon toaster.
A demon toaster?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's a good story. It's when I lived in northern New Mexico with my young sons, when I first moved there, I needed a toaster, and I went shopping for a toaster.
Mm-hmm.
I found a toaster at an unbelievably low price.
Mm.
These shiny toasters, they were made in China. There was one that was out of the box. I checked it out. It looked like it was well made. And I bought it.
Yes.
So about 2 days later, on a Saturday, I heard my young sons, Enoch and Aaron, screaming, "Fire!" I ran out to the kitchen, and here was this demon toaster, not only on fire, but the flames coming from the two slots looked like the afterburners on an F-15.
What the hell was in there? Just bread?
Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts.
Okay? So I pulled it, I unplugged it.
Rocket fuel.
Yeah. To my horror, nothing changed. It had nothing to do with the electricity. This thing was ready to burn my house down. So I, risking mortal injury, I lifted the thing up off the counter, put it on the floor, doused it with water, and became very angry. And I took the toaster after it cooled off, my sons, a small arsenal that we had, drove up to the mesa, and we executed the toaster with a firing squad.
Did you?
Yes, we did.
Was it ceremonial?
Well, no, there was actually no trial or anything. We just lined up, and the Dames boys shot this toaster to pieces.
Wasn't it satisfying?
It was. I was quite satisfied having extracted a modicum of revenge until 2 days later.
Yes.
I opened the paper, and on the second page was a story about a class action suit that was being filed against the makers of these particular Pop-Tarts because many houses had burned down. It wasn't the toaster.
Oh, my God. So you killed your evidence.
I executed an innocent Chinese toaster.
All right. Ed, hold it right there. I never did shoot anything, fortunately. It's all working now. It's a good thing, too, because I had the gun in my hand. I mean, that's how close it was. I had the gun in my hand. It was that close. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 29th, 1999. Take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
You know, Robert out there, my phasing expert, I sent you a little list of my desires with regard to phased music. Add this one to it. It's called A Living Thing. It's by ELO. It's another one I've fallen back in love with again. It'd be fun to phase this one, and I have a feeling it'll phase well. So add that to the list. All right, we're going to get back to Major Ed Dames in a moment. And before this night is over, you're probably going to know more about Satan than you wanted to know. Stay right there.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com.
get a new view of the world with Coast to Coast AM.
When do you see this entire picture unfolding?
It's unfolding right in front of us. The corporate construct runs our government. And most importantly, they keep us on the two-party system. As long as they can convince the American people that your choices between evildoers, the Democrats, or evildoers, the Republicans, they have absolute control of you. The biggest threat would be a genuine third party.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 29th, 1999.
Once again, back to the wilds of Hawaii and Ed Dames. That was a good story about the toaster, Ed. I like that.
Actually, it's an interesting thing, because a more sobering thought is how many people, not toasters, have been dispatched because of this damn cheap toaster type of logic.
Well, actually,
and the attendant emotion.
Where that toaster came from, they execute people for parts when they need them, Ed. Body parts. Just before we came on the air, we had Robert Ghostwolf and Richard Hoagland in Miami. And that site is so jammed now that nobody can get to it. I've suggested to Keith he go up and try to pluck the photographs off so we have a lot of bandwidth on our server, and we could let people see them. But right now the site is so jammed, even Keith can't get in. But the fact of the matter is, there is really something that approaches what appears to be Stonehenge in Miami, and they're about to concrete this sucker over. And it occurred to me, Ed, that it would be a reasonable project for you to try and figure out, this is not a trivial issue, this could be something from our beginnings as a human race. Is that a project you could take on?
We could do that. And let me consider it. I did go to the site and I looked at the photos. So it isn't anything that would be that difficult to tackle. We're looking at four professional remote viewers, 8 days of work, something like that.
That's a lot of work.
And we could do that. I need a break from what I've been doing anyway.
Let's 5 weeks. I expected to sort of find you. You remember Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where Richard Dreyfuss was making little mounds out of potatoes, and I sort of figured to find you in about that shape with about 5 days of beard growth or something.
No, I did that with Project Starman. That work's done. So I'm going back to Project Starman very quickly.
I see. All right. I guess the first question I would like to ask is Satan an entity, an idea, a concept? Is Satan the real thing? What exactly is Satan? People have been calling the last few days and saying, there is no Satan. Satan is within all of us. And there's a million theories about Satan, but you're the guy who now knows. So what is Satan?
In technical remote viewing, when we take a search term, all terms are ideas. I mean, words are expressive of ideas. Now, we will not know until we do the work, and we do it several times, whether or not we're dealing with a discrete thing or an idea. So, for instance, the concept of evil.
Yes.
Each time it results in a different output, but the themes are the same. You can understand that. Something like Satan, for instance, that will result, if that is an entity, and in fact it is an entity, it will result in it has the same pattern of information, and all remote viewers who are trained in TRV will produce very similar data against that.
All right, I want to stop you right away, because you just went flying right by that. You said Satan is indeed an entity.
I'll have a lot more to say about that. But let's look at the idea of a quasi-nonsense search term like Mickey Mouse. If we search against the term Mickey Mouse, which is an idea, Mickey Mouse means different things to different people.
You know what it means to me? I'm serious.
It
Mickey
means
Mouse
your internet server?
No, Mickey Mouse Now, that's an... I represent that remark. No, Mickey Mouse to me means standing in line down at Disneyland in those long, curly queue lines for about an hour and a half waiting to get on a ride. That's what Mickey Mouse means to me.
And to another person, it would mean entertainment or a memory of sitting in a theater as a young child. So a term like that, and that is used in technical remote viewing as a search term.
It's concept,
if it produces,
I guess,
different things, then we know that we're not dealing with a discrete entity. We're dealing with a concept.
Oh, I see. So if you get multiple returns all the time different,
that are not coherent, that don't present any coherence whatsoever.
How interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How interesting. So that means you're not, but you said, yes, but you said that with respect to evil. But
that's Satan, correct. With respect to evil, we get different outputs each time, but the theme is the same. Killing, torturing, those kinds of things. A different scenario each time with the same theme.
But when it came
with Mickey Mouse, we would get data that was not really coherent. It may not even be the same thing, because Mickey Mouse to the animator may mean work, you know, a lot of work.
Sure.
And to someone else, it may
sure.
mean entertainment. So the themes are different.
But when it came to Satan, again, just straight answer here, Satan is in fact a real entity?
I'm going to cover the players in a moment.
Right.
The goal of this project was to see if there really was an enemy. Are we really at war? I mean,
that's right.
As a former military intelligence officer and an expert remote viewer, I had the tools to determine those things, and that's what this project was all about. Is there a war room? What are we dealing with? You know, what are the enemy's goals? But before I go into that, I want to, as an aside, I want to talk to you about the Antichrist.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good. You know, I did a show last night, and here's what I find disturbing. Obviously, a lot of the calls that I got last night from people claiming to be the Antichrist were people who, you know, had not had their full proper dose of medicine or whatever for the day. But overall, Ed, when you do a 4 or a 5 hour program and you open the line and you say, anybody who thinks they're the Antichrist, call me. And not only was that line loaded beyond belief, but all the other lines, the overload was moving to the other lines. That's a comment on the human condition. I'm not sure exactly what the comment says, but it's a comment, isn't it?
It is, and I think some of the things I'll have to say tonight will address those issues. But do you remember about 2 years ago on your show, we remote viewed the Antichrist and reported back that it was a field effect. It was a potential that was present in all human beings. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's not true anymore.
What?
Because it is now a person. It is a human being.
Oh, my. Jerry Falwell just said the Antichrist is alive today. Did you know that?
I know that. Did he mean that it was an adult or something?
He means the Antichrist as a living human, apparent human presence, is alive now, and that the return of Jesus is going to occur within 10 years.
Well, I don't know about the return of Jesus, but we did a lot of work on this concept of the Antichrist, and it's no longer just a potential. It is a human being now. It's more than that. It is what I would term a Christian condition. It's a role. Satan is an interested bystander in this. There's actually several available candidates to fill this role of the Antichrist, the so-called king of iniquity.
Yeah.
But it disappears to be a very important figure in the grand scheme of things. And this cosmic wisdom out there has fixed this figure in time, in this age. And it creates a condition that forces mortal decisions to be made. I'm not certain if this individual ever becomes aware of what his role is, but it is a male. I'm going to talk to you about the individual. When we employ this term Antichrist, the individual now, that surfaces most often when this search term is employed is a child. Born last year, who one might say has crawled right out of a horror movie. He was a throwaway newborn. He was literally discarded into a dumpster. He was left to die by his mother. In fact, he'll come to especially despise the females of our species.
Wow.
He was welcomed into the world by rats, flies, maggots, and stench and filth. And then he was retrieved by the system. Important role to play. He'll lead many astray, but by their own choice.
Do you have any idea where this child
is? Yes, I do, but I'm not going to say. As the child grows, you know, he'll have a tremendous amount of self-loathing because he's going to find out the conditions of his birth and project that self-loathing outward towards his fellows. And he actually becomes a mirror and sort of a magnetic center for people like himself. In fact, he attracts what he is. But in reality, we all spawn this child, this bad seed, as it were. He really becomes a manifestation of the basest instincts in all of us, the things that many of us have come not only to accept, but even idolize in our society, and that will accelerate. And he arrives on the scene at a time when spirituality is put to the test on a very grand scale. And that's in biblical prophecy.
Well, I can feel that.
He sets the stage, and this is important. He sets the stage for many people to make these mortal choices. He plays a critical role and bringing closure to the fate of many people, because there's going to be no middle ground here. He'll force people to make a choice. He's a touchstone in this regard for men's souls, for people's souls.
You can feel it coming, Ed. You can feel it. I can feel it. I know it's coming. I know these choices, these critical junctures in where humanity is going, they're well on the way. I can feel it. I have no idea if I'm going to make the right or the wrong choice, but I can feel it coming.
Well, let's review the bidding here. You know, we're born, we have attendant gifts and handicaps and conditions, and then we have a soul, and most of us agree that we do. I mean, many of us do.
Yes.
And this soul grows, and then we die. And this soul is harvested by some system out there.
Harvest.
And then it goes to the great beyond. And I'll see you there. So that's it. That's what happens here. Now, on our way from birth to death, our personal lives and all these personal decisions are swept along by some strong currents down here on Mother Earth. There's our biologies, our creaturehood that we really can't run away from yet. There's cultural trajectories, human emotions and intellectual choices, and I mean technology and what has been come to be called memes now also. That sweeps us along. There's natural trajectories in God's physical universe. There's acts of God, weather and disease and earthquakes and those kinds of things that we're beginning to see a lot. And there are supernatural trajectories. The human soul is immersed in that, and angels are there too, if one chooses to believe in angels. And we don't spend a lot of time, you know, thinking about this particular stream of things. We take them for granted.
We don't spend a lot of time ever thinking about this sort of thing. Look, people get up, they go to work, mm-hmm. they have a life, they have families, they have bills to pay, they have things to do. The amount of time they can spend in conjecture over this kind of thing is maybe when they get a vacation every year for about a day or two. You know, you relax a little bit.
Or reach the 11th hour of their life, whenever that is, and begin to think about those kinds of issues. Because these things are invisible. Souls invisible. Things that are supernatural things are invisible, and we can't detect them with microscopes and particle accelerators. But we take them for granted. We accept them, many of us, but we take them for granted. So among the supernatural trajectories, there's things that are detrimental. Many natural psychics, for instance, many people are born with natural abilities. They become paranoid because they don't have the tools like technical remote viewing up until now, and they're not sure whether something that they feel around them that they're sensitive to is good or bad. It's sad if it's good and they think it's bad, vice versa. And so these things that are out there that are negative, they're very free to take advantage of us, and the things that are positive can't communicate with us, and we don't know that they're there. So we can't avail ourselves of any wisdom or anything else that they have to offer normally.
Mm-hmm.
miracles happen, of course, and they're performed by angels. If you go back in history, you'll see a lot of them. You don't see very many these days. But anyway, the TRV task, technical remote viewing test, is to expose these cloaked enemies if they're there. And they do appear to be real. I'm going to talk about the key players. When I was working this, a couple of these key players, they, you can really feel the hatred and the contempt as a remote viewer. For instance,
Satan.
Lucifer, the idea. I hit the idea of Lucifer because Lucifer was supposed to be a high angel, and indeed that is an entity. But this entity is gone. It's far, far away, and its mind is only perceptible by moving back in time as a remote viewer. So it's not around anymore. I use that term loosely.
Really?
Satan is something else. Satan is another higher angel, and it is a discrete being. And it's somewhere, and I can't pin down the somewhere, but it is not on Earth.
You're saying Lucifer is far gone. Satan is not far gone, but not precisely here. Is that correct?
That's correct. But its mind, Satan's mind, is very active, and it is active here. It's in communication with what I'll call, right now, subordinates. It's contact.
Subordinates.
But it is not free to do anything directly to humans who are on Earth. And this was a really interesting remote viewing target. And it's a very glorious, cold, crystalline, blinding white light type of being. But it's always accompanied by a feeling, at least it was with me. It's comparable, the only way I could describe it is to being next to a merciless killer that's been incarcerated. You still feel the threat, even when the killer is constrained, and you definitely feel the hatred. But in the case of Satan, it's far stronger than its human equivalent.
Yeah, I've seen interviews with Charlie Manson, and you can feel the pure evil, the hatred, the knowing that if he was there with you, instead of being on a television screen, he'd take your life without even thinking twice about it, that kind of evil.
Just amp that up. Amp it up 1,000 times, and you'll know what it feels like.
I don't know that I would have done what you did. Ed Dames is my guest. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM, and we will be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 29, 1999.
I have just taken the photograph of the millennium. It's on my webcam right now. Now, as you know, we are headed toward 2000, racing toward it every second, bringing us a little closer to 2000. And I decided some time ago that the press was going to come after me because of the kind of material we'll likely deal with on the show. Never mind that I've been doing it for years. They're going to come after me, and they're going to blame me for whatever happened. So I'm giving them ammunition. I've decided to play right into their hands and give them ammunition, and it's up there right now. And it's so cool. I mean, this is definitely the best yet. I have put on my full-fledged Millennium Master costume, and that photograph is now available for you to go see and for the press to go get and observe and look at and to print your Y2K Millennium Madness stories. It'll be perfect. You guys at the Washington Post, Chicago Sun-Times, L.A., New York Times, Wall Street Journal, all of you, this is the photograph you want for your next Millennium story. Believe me, when you want to lay it all on me, this is what you want. This is what will help the public believe it's all madness. I want to thank my wife, those listeners who contributed the various items that went into my costume. We will endeavor to get some good 35mm photographs up in time. But right now, this is my contribution to the hatchet job the press is no doubt going to do on me anyway. It's up there. It's on my webcam. Take a look. It's a real beaut.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night, but you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today.
Get a new view of the world with Coast to Coast AM.
When do you see this entire picture unfolding?
It's unfolding right in front of us. The corporate construct runs our government. And most importantly, they keep us on the two-party system. As long as they can convince the American people that your choices between evildoers, the Democrats, or evildoers, the Republicans, they have absolute control of you. The biggest threat would be a genuine third party.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM. From January 29th, 1999.
By the way, this is not my original Millennium Master costume. That was just a quick throw together. This one is the official Millennium Master costume. I mean, this one's really done up. We took it during this last news break, and I'm going to leave it up there for a while, giving the authorities time to get it. Oh, I'm having so much fun with this. All right, back now to a very, very serious topic in a lot of ways. Satan. Satan is, first of all, I guess I would say this. Remote viewing, believe, takes place in the realm. I'm going to have to ask you about this, Ed, but when you remote view anything at all, where are you? Are you in?
You're in the unconscious part of mind, and your own unconscious is part of a collective, a universal mind, and that universal mind has access to higher truths and expanded meanings. It may not mean that you can download it, because we're limited in terms of our hardware, our bicameral brain. But that's where you're operating. And the technical remote viewing technique, the one that was used to do this study, and the one that was that originated in the military team 15 years ago, those techniques provide the rigor and the protocols to accurately download from unconscious data in terms of words and sketches that is concomitant with those higher truths. So That's why I've stuck with this, with remote viewing for so long, because I do not trust my own mind, my own decisions, and especially the emotions that are attendant with some of those decisions. Witness the toaster disaster.
Well,
so this is a way of bypassing that and getting straight to higher truths.
Right. But when you were talking about remote viewing Satan, it occurred to me that instead of being on your turf, you would, in effect, when you remote view, be on his turf.
Partially so. I'm going to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, then please do. I mean, that's where I was going with when I asked you, when you remote view, where are you? You're more on the turf of the angels, Satan.
Not really. They have minds too. Don't forget, they're entities also. But then in their cases, they have, in these cases, these are powerful minds, very powerful minds. I'll talk about those. But I want to discuss the two key players, the major figures. Then these are real entities that operate on Earth.
Far away.
I'm sure that Father Malachi Martin would have no problem with this. The devil. Satan is not the devil. The devil is here and still operating. In fact, still free to do some damage. And I'm going to have to say a lot about that this evening. This is an angel now. This is an angel. Don't forget. This angel is the commander-in-chief of the planet's dark forces. This angel enjoys engineering the destruction of mankind. Very much so.
In what manner?
I'm going to talk about
it. Okay, all right.
There's a second angel. It's an assistant to the devil. I don't have a name for it. You know, I just spent time sketching it and remote viewing it. It executes the devil's command, so it's sort of like an executive officer. And this one influences men's minds in ways that I'll talk about. There's a host of others. I don't know how many, but they're not angels. They're different in form. They're essentially Beelzebub type of entities, demons. And they can be summoned by men. And they can monkey around at the material level, not just minds, but they can actually appear to be able to influence material, to move things, to flip switches, that kind of thing. They can trick humans into believing that the humans are channeling a higher entity. That idea. All of these entities revel in one thing, carnage, and hearing men curse God. Now, after 5 weeks of this, you can imagine that's why I say shell shock, because I'm going to expand upon these ideas here.
I was really, for the first time, I was really concerned about you. And I thought, first of all, doing this alone didn't strike me as such a brilliant idea. Not at all, in fact. Not that perhaps anybody there with you could have helped. I have no idea, but doing this alone, you know, in backwoods Hawaii, I don't know.
Well, it's done. Anyway, the devil, this angel that we call the devil, has two big operational edges. The first edge that the devil has is an obvious one, and that's the fact that many of us, as true as reality, we treat it as a fairy tale. We joke about it. We do that all the time about the devil. So essentially, it not only behooves him, it. I don't know about sexes, and if angels have sexes, but huh. I'll say him, conventionally him. It behooves him to operate clandestinely. The second edge, and of course, or so there's nobody guarding the gate, because there's nobody there, right? He's invisible.
Right.
The second real edge is the inherent potential of evil in the minds of men. And this is far more damaging than these two entities that are operating on Earth.
Well,
far more damage.
I think that's what I was trying to point out when I was talking about the phone ringing off the hook on this night we had last night for people who thought they were little devils, who thought they were the Antichrist, however you want to think of the Antichrist.
It's that state of men's mind that is really far stronger in terms of, these two angelic beings who have chosen an error. They're agents, they're instigators of sin. Sin is the knowing pursuit of evil. Chronic sin is iniquity. these forces are greatly outnumbered by good angels, to use a simple term. But these forces are allowed to operate, and it appears that their activity has to be allowed to run its course so that both angels, the minds of angels and men, can see the results of their actions, errors, or on a cosmic scale. So it's also important to realize that these agencies, they do not steal your soul. They can't, because they don't own it. But they and ourselves, without any help from them, can cause it to be lost, extinguished forever. They can set you up to have it extinguished, or we can set ourselves up.
In other words, you're saying that a soul, in essence, when lost, isn't a soul that goes to hell, as many Christians believe, but is simply extinguished?
Forever. Becomes as if it were not. Hell is a created state of existence in life. There are personal hells, group hells, national. Hell can exist on a continent. Today, Rwanda, Kosovo, yesterday, Dachau, Auschwitz, tomorrow, who knows? One can find hell on earth at any time. It's scattered in many places.
Yeah, isn't it?
These forces that I'm talking about, these forces seek to perpetuate hell on earth for a reason that I'm going to talk about. But don't give the devil too much credit. The inherent evil in our own minds, that's our worst enemy, not these guys. These guys are catalysts. I'm going to talk about their failures and their successes, too.
I think a lot of people are going to agree with you. I got a lot of email after the Antichrist line that said exactly almost what you're saying right now. One quick email question. Ask Ed, please, if Lucifer no longer exists and Satan has replaced him, did he find any beauty in Lucifer before his fall?
I did not say that Lucifer does not exist. I said that Lucifer, in terms of remote viewing, feels so far away in space and time that there's no longer any influence here on Earth that I can detect. That's not so with Satan, who is another angel.
Here's another one. You just blew this person away. Did I hear Ed just say that Satan is a bright white light?
When, as a professional remote viewer, actually, years ago, I took a look at Satan, too, but not for very long. I said I perceived this entity as an entity, but as a glorious, cold, crystalline, blinding white light entity.
Oh,
and that's the only way I can describe it.
Great.
Quite beautiful.
Just great.
Right.
Because Satan...
But it's a feeling emotionally... is very different than what you pick up visually and sensorily. Very different. It's just like being around a merciless killer that hates you like you had never been hated before.
Ed, the reason that I ask this, and I hate to bring it up again because I just did, but the person goes on, Satan obviously is the great deceiver. Somebody said to me years ago that when you die, don't go to the white light, it's a trick. And that, I've not known how to deal with that piece of information ever since it was given to me. It's blown me away. And
if I'm not mistaken, that was John Lear.
Well, it was John Lear quoting somebody else, but it doesn't matter. Once it's in your mind that somebody has told you, don't go to the white light, go to the dark, because the light is a trick, that really screws with you, Ed.
Oh, yeah, it does. Actually, to be honest with you, it screws with me, too.
And to hear you say white light, I agree with the emailer here.
Mm-hmm. It gives you cause to. But I'll have more to say about that when we talk about faith.
All right.
Okay?
Sure.
So these are the kinds of things that I was looking at. It's really business as usual for me in some regards because... for instance, I was one of the first to penetrate a very high-level foreign decision-making body, a military body that was considered a threat to our country, and I used remote viewing to do it. This is similar, but this time the target knows you're looking at them, and in the case of men, it didn't. And this target is different because their minds are brilliant. For instance, when I and my colleagues would attempt to overthrow a foreign regime, okay, on behalf of our country, your tax dollars at work, we were like the Keystone Cops. I mean, we barely ever pulled this off. But that's not so with the devil and his assistant. These minds can calculate the potentials. They can look at the flashpoints. Their timing is impeccable. And I'm going to tell you how they actually pull off what they do and what they're doing now. In fact, by the end of your show, I may have a price on my head as a result of that.
Maybe a higher price.
I don't know. But
I'm just trying to keep a little of it. This is so serious and so dark that I'm trying to lighten it up a little bit here. I kind of figured you might not come out of this at all. I mean, I really thought about that, Ed. I really thought...
Well, this is not something that you're... This is not something that the people that we train, our tape trainees, are far better than the trainee, the scientists and doctors that I used to train, because they can take their time and learn this. This is not something that you're going to want to tackle until you have about a year worth of remote viewing training, and that's about every other day, you know, working and practicing. This is not something that you can tackle without a degree of expertise and experience. That's why I did it myself.
No, I hear you. And I want to do this. I want to give you a chance to plug your tapes. I don't know, how long has it been now? 2 or 3 years ago? 2 years ago? A year ago? I'm not even sure anymore. I'm losing track of time.
The tapes have been on the streets for about a year, I believe.
About a year, and I guess we heard about them for a good, at least 9 months before that, so I'm about right.
We added another tape, and we dropped the price by $70 to make it available to more people.
When?
I think about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no kidding. So...
I just found out recently. I've been on a sabbatical here working this, so...
I know. There's a beginner's tape, which is really, really good. And that's what I always recommend everybody get first, who's considering remote viewing. Because by the time you're done watching this tape, it's a very good production. You'll know whether you want to proceed or not. And that tape is the first module, you call it, right?
Module one, yes.
Module one.
That's just basic training.
And that one is how much?
That is $49.95, but it's we provide it free when people buy the whole package now, plus another tape, background on the company.
All right, and if they go on to the full package, then so that everybody gets this in perspective. It was once true that you could only attend remote viewing classes with Ed or any of the other major remote viewers who do them. Over a period of time, you had to physically go there, and
we charged about $5,000.
About $5,000, yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was such a long waiting list, you couldn't get in anyway. And so, Ed, about a year ago, dropped the bomb by releasing these tapes, which will teach you to remote view
more effectively than the intensive course, because there was so much to learn in the intensive course. It was information overload. There was only 10 days. The tapes that we recommend that both module one and two, people take 4 months to absorb, to work that, and that's how long you can spread the training out. So our tape trainees, ironically, have become better than our intensive course graduates.
And we're going to talk a little bit about what it's like to have that many remote viewers out there. Now there are quite a few. What is the phone number people can call?
Can order the tapes or find out more about technical remote viewing at 1-888-878-0333.
When is that line available?
Anytime.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
They can go to your website, click over to our website. If people have an email to send me, any hate mail, you're welcome to click on my name at the SciTech website under the contact section, and my email address is there.
If you've got the guts, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 29th, 1999.
Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wish wishing well in a castle dark or a fortress strong with chains upon my feet. You know that ghost is me, and I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost you can't see. If I could read your mind, love.
Presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 29th, 1999.
This, of course, is Lorena McKinnon. And, of course, it's phased.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
All right, back now to Ed Ames in the wilds of Hawaii, where he's been remote viewing Satan. Okay, Ed, welcome back.
I'm still here. It's wild, but it's pretty beautiful, huh?
Really?
Yeah, it's really beautiful here.
I know. The only thing about paradise is that I lived on Maui, Ed, for a while. Worked up on Haleakala, the side of Haleakala radio station up there. I used to have to play half Hawaiian music. It was really something. Anyway, paradise can, after a while, get to you. I mean, day after day of soft trade winds and beautiful flowers blooming everywhere and beaches
it's a,
and...
It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to do it, right. All right.
Let me talk to you about the failures of these entities, because that's an important thing. They essentially think of penetrating their war room, sitting down and watching these discussions. And we're not going to stop them. Even exposure is not going to stop them. But we can see what they're doing using technical remote viewing. Their key failures, and this is important, has been through the ages, faith. Faith on the part of the believers among mankind. This is a particularly sour defeat because it appears that it was their own loss of faith, faith in the existence, both the existence and the omnipotence of God, that led to their own downfall. Downfall being cut off from, you know, from the rest of the cosmos. And misery loves company.
Yeah.
So man's spiritual beliefs, and they're reinforced by miracles and revelation, but they're by no means necessary for, in spite of the idea of the God part of the brain, for the establishment of faith. And not being able to dislodge men's faith, even when death was the consequence, was their key failure. Now, what is a threat to their goal? Their goal, the devil's goal,
yeah,
the commander-in-chief's goal, is to achieve total destruction of mankind. And the threat to that goal is the same as their greatest failure, faith, which is a very interesting thing. Men's faith is a threat to achieving that goal. They want to destroy that faith. And it's important to realize that these minds, when you remote view them, it's an incredible thing. The minds of these two principles, unlike the minds of other angels, which are quite wonderful things to be around, these are no longer rational minds. These are warped and they're deranged, but they're very powerful and destructive. And it's to think of Adolf Hitler in the mind as an angel, as a dark angel, mm-hmm, that kind of an idea. They're capable of influencing and they're capable of amplifying the inherent base animal natures of men. And they can feed the fires of hatred that they find. Remember now, angels can see your attitude and your intent. So can the devil. I saw a bumper sticker, ironically, a couple weeks ago, a very interesting bumper sticker. It read, "The next time that the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future." That was very funny to me, too.
That's pretty good.
Because if the fate of these principles is as outlined, and I don't know that it is, by the way, is as outlined in the world's religions, that is, annihilation, then what I do know is that they are seeking to take as many with them as they can. That is the sea to it, that as many souls are extinguished as possible, men's souls. So if they can't rule this world, nobody will. And it's to prevent the system from harvesting souls. It's like pure spite and hatred. So if Armageddon is foreordained, and this is really important, if all of this is foreordained, if it's going to happen in spite of anything that men do, the number of casualties is not foreordained. Otherwise, there would be no true freedom of choice, right?
That's true.
So the numbers of men whose souls will be extinguished, that does not appear to be foreordained. That's why it's important to become aware of how these agencies exist, that they're real, and how they're operating and where they're operating. I'm going to get down to specifics soon.
All right. Anytime you're ready. I mean, I mean, what was it like? Can you describe to us in the sessions you went into what it was like and how you made it to your, I'll use the word target, and what it was like?
Most of the time, I'll tell you, I'll use an analogy. Not an allegory, but an actual analogy. It's like sitting down in a war room, and I've been in many, very strategic war room, watching the commander-in-chief of the dark forces and his executive officer allow me to sit there and just smile because they know I can't do anything about their plans. That's what it was like.
Well, but Ed, if there's free will, and if you can in effect, spy on the enemy, in this case, Satan, and find out intentions,
mm-hmm,
then with free will and voice, you can screw up his plans. Now,
I disagree. I think that they are dealing with events that are so fixed that the only thing that we could do is save a few lives here and there, that they're going to happen anyway. And I'm going to talk about some of those, the key stratagems and plans existing, current. And I don't think we're going to stop them, but there may be some lives that can be saved.
All right.
Let me talk to you about their successes throughout history.
All right.
What do you think their successes are?
Oh, I'd come up with the usual, the death camps in Germany, maybe.
Remember now, there are limited resources. They don't have that. They don't have that many resources available to them, so they have to concentrate them to achieve the most bang for the buck.
Maybe disasters like the Titanic, planes that go down inexplicably.
No. Well, that's penny ante stuff, Art.
Yeah, I'm just flailing around here. You asked me what I thought.
Yeah, that's penny ante stuff. No, there's
AIDS.
These successes have been war.
AIDS?
Nope.
War? War. Okay, well.
War. Because war is an excuse for anything on a mass scale. And there's a reason why war is important to them. Because war eventuates in extreme hatred. The hatred builds momentum, and it seethes, it lingers. The killing, the mass murders, the atrocities, the barbarism, they all lead to hate and lost souls. The war fosters the maximum amount, maximum number of sinners. It dehumanizes, it snuffs out spirituality. It's far more than materialism does.
Okay,
it destroys souls and it poisons the garden.
At the individual base, at the individual level, let me ask you about war.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was in the Second World War. He fought in the Pacific Theater, Guadalcanal. He killed a lot of Japanese. Many others fought in the European Theater. They killed many Germans. What did that, at the time, Ed, we were fighting, we thought, for our lives, for our future as a nation, for the world, in fact. That's why they called it a world war. What of the individual souls who fought believing they were fighting for all that was good and cherished and right in the world? What about those souls?
That's different than sin most of the time. It's a prosecution of an evil idea. That's the force field of evil. That's what war operates in, that force field. But sin is different. Sin is the knowing prosecution of evil. When you know that it's evil, not just wrong, but evil, to prosecute what you are doing, that's sin. And to continue that leads to perdition. That's where you risk your soul.
All right. We are in an ongoing sort of semi-war with Saddam Hussein right now. The other day, one of our less than smartest bombs landed near Basra and killed a bunch of civilians and really destroyed. And Saddam Hussein said he was really angry about that and there would be retaliation. There are a lot of people who think that Saddam Hussein is going to come up with something that's going to end life. You know, he's some biological horrible or chemical something. We know he's used chemicals before and probably wouldn't hesitate to use biologicals and might be crazy enough to release something that would kill the originator.
A doomsday machine or something.
A doomsday virus. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what the devil's doing.
Please.
Specifically.
Please.
Because the devil is a brilliant mastermind. Man, we do it to ourselves. But the devil wants to speed things up. I want to talk about his current stratagems. Now, these stratagems require human contactees. So there's some criteria for contacting. The criteria is hatred and extremism. It requires extremism and a distorted mind,
right,
a desire to actually exercise evil and commit sin on the part of the humans.
That sounds
hatred
right.
Hatred is the key.
That sounds right.
Okay. Now,
look, it was, for example, good example, Oklahoma. Extremism, hatred, mass death.
That's right. Now, and there goes probably, that's a good candidate for a lost soul.
Yeah.
In these activities, these satanic forces, they directly participate in, and they influence these. Many of them, most people are unwitting contactees, as opposed to the natural evil deeds that men perform.
Yes,
these entities clandestinely operate in men's mind. They seed ideas in very fertile ground where the stakes are high. Again, the garden has to be fertile with extremism and hate.
Father Malachi Martin said something that will always stick with me, like the remark passed on by John Lear. Father Martin said to me, Art, there are many, many perfectly possessed people in the world. You can walk in the streets of Manhattan. They've made their deal long ago with Satan, and they're quite content in this life with what they are reaping and the deal they have made. And when you pass them on the street, you can feel a chill, said Father Martin. You know you're passing them. He called them the perfectly possessed, and he said there are more than you want to believe there are.
They're Manchurian candidates.
Yeah.
And they can enjoy the rest of their life in any way they want to enjoy it, but they're gone forever after that. And that's a heavy price to pay.
Boy, that's going to be quite a surprise, isn't it?
It won't be a surprise at all.
For
they'll
them.
Become as if they never were.
They'll become as if they never were.
Mm-hmm. Very, very, that's it. Now, anyway, here's, in terms of war room, there's two key stratagems, okay? And remember now that these brilliant minds, they're masters at predicting the outcome of events and how because they know how individuals will react. They know us well, far superior to my bumbling days in the intelligence community when we had a difficult time predicting where we would be tomorrow, much less an enemy,
mm-hmm.
Okay? The old Keystone Cops routine.
Sure.
But it's also important to realize that these events, they have to run their course, Art. The dramas have to be played out, and it doesn't appear that we can stop them, but it appears that we can become cognizant of them. You know? And that's
well,
important
what good
because
does,
becoming
but
cognizant
of... Ed, what good does it do to become aware of an impending tragedy, evil tragedy, without being able to affect it? Of what use is that?
It's of this use. It makes us, it forces us, or at least induces us, to be much more introspective and become cognizant of think about the ramifications of the choices that we make, errant missiles in another country. Unless the choices that we have as individuals and as a group, How much choice do we actually have? We need to see where the boundaries are.
All right, maybe I can put it this way. Maybe this will give some out there hope. You appear to be saying, for the collective unconscious, there is no hope, but there is hope for an individual. Is that fair?
No.
Oh.
Not for the collective unconscious. For the collective, for humanity as a group, for these large events that have momentum. We're not going to escape them. That's why they were foreordained 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago.
All right, but there is hope for the individual.
You as an individual can choose. If you're armed with the right information, that's why remote viewing is so important, to not participate in that event. See?
At least that's hope for the individual. Some hope for the individual. That's good.
But there's two current stratagems that these principles are prosecuting. One is an assassination. The contactee is an Iranian at state level, not a terrorist organization, Hamas or Hezbollah, PLO leadership. This is an Iranian at state level whose directives carry a lot of weight. And we're talking here state-supported terrorism. This individual has had certain ideas implanted in his mind. In other words, he's in unwitting contact with the devil. I hope this doesn't result in a fatwa against me, like Salman Rushdie has, for allegedly blaspheming Allah.
Oh, now I see what you mean by a price on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so you're saying there is somebody in Iran.
They're at the state level who the devil is manipulating like a puppet. And this person thinks that they have planned this. They're full of hatred. They think that they've planned this, but it is actually the devil's plan. They're sending a three-man assassination team to target a popular Israeli cleric or cabinet official in Israel. So whether or not the Israelis become aware of who sponsored this assassination team, I don't know.
When did you become aware of this?
About a week and a half ago. No, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. I had to work it a number of times to make sure it was correct. So this would result in a sympathetic detonation, you know, in Indonesia is 90% Muslim. And the point here, in this individual's mind, and he doesn't realize that it's not his idea. Satan wants to promote an unholy war before the holy war against Israel is really carried out. Because the Muslim people are not united in their hatred against Israel. Allah did not preach hatred. The Prophet did not preach the kind of hatred that...
Only the extremists.
The extremists have to unite the Muslim people in their hatred. That's why I, and this is my term, by the way, I am saying that the devil is promoting an unholy war first to inflame the situation so that the Muslim peoples become at least reach a threshold amount of hatred so that the holy war, the other jihad, can be finally mounted against Israel. Otherwise, it will fail.
All right, hold it.
It's kind of a brilliant strategy.
Hold it right there. We'll be right back, I think. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Good morning.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
Someone on the fiddle and playing it hot. And the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals it hard.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
We're talking with Ed Dames. He is remote-viewed Satan. We're about to get right down to it, so buckle in. If you don't feel like you can handle it, tune out. I'm serious about that. How many people tell you that? I know how a lot of people feel about me. I know. In fact, here's an email that I think sums it up real well. Hi, Art Bell. I just wanted you to know, for what it's worth, that I've been listening to your radio program for over 2 years. I can't stand the program. It's disgusting. But I do enjoy listening to you. You're an okay guy. But God have mercy, I hate the program. I plan to keep listening. Don't ask me why. It's just something I do. Hank. That probably sums it up for a lot of you out there, huh?
Get a new view of the world with Coast to Coast AM.
When do you see this entire picture unfolding?
It's unfolding right in front of us. The corporate construct runs our government. And most importantly, they keep us on the two-party system. As long as they can convince the American people that your choices between evildoers, the Democrats, or evildoers, the Republicans, they have absolute control of you. The biggest threat would be a genuine third party.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
Take Coast to Coast AM with you anywhere on your mobile phone. CoastToCoastAM.com can be conveniently accessed on your iPhone and most Android platforms, which means that you are never without your Coast to Coast AM fix. If you're a Coast to Coast Insider subscriber, you can listen to the show live in the middle of the night or previous shows 24/7. Plus, you can browse all the great photos, videos, and news stories. Keeping up with Coast to Coast AM has never been easier with our Coast Insider service. Now, we take you back to the past. On Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
All right, back now to Major Ed Dames, SciTech's Ed Dames, in Hawaii, on Hawaii. I guess you're on Hawaii. Unless there's a big eruption, then you might be in it. Hi, Ed. All right, let's do it. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty of what you found about Satan. I want to ask this. Was Satan aware that you were there?
When you're remote view, you're not anywhere. You're just, you're unconscious. It's, think of a hologram.
Well, I know that, but I mean,
yes, Satan was aware that my attention,
yes,
my attention,
yes,
was turned towards him. Now, remember, Satan is somewhere far away. I don't know where, to be honest with you.
Still, it must have been an interesting moment when you understood that the entity was aware of you.
Yes, yes, very interesting. I mentioned already what that felt like emotionally and what it, how I would. And could describe it sensorially.
With regard to the project to remote view Satan, that was the moment of truth, more or less. In other words, if something horrible was going to happen, it probably would have occurred there.
I have friends in high places, and I also have a lot of faith. So I was not overly concerned about that art.
Okay.
This project, this research project, took its toll on me because of the almost sense of hopelessness about the numbers of people who are going to meet an unsavory fate, many more than I would have ever expected or was aware of, because of choices that they made in their life and are making. I wasn't aware of the number of casualties that are going to be realized.
Can you tell us how this will unfold, the manner of its unfolding? How much do you know?
Well, I only locked on to after separating all the principles and working a number of sessions to determine if these ideas were connected with entities. Are the entities real? Where are they? Who are they? Who's subordinate to whom? The actual projects are the one that I mentioned, the backlash of which by the Israelis, I'm sure, has been predicted and to cause moderate Muslims to be overthrown by the extremists. That's there. But there's also a pet project, and that pet project deals with a single biological warfare production facility that I did not locate. I only know that it's there. In fact, there are two remote viewing cues. There's another remote viewing search term that one can use, and that is the devil, present location. And there you come up with the same location, this biological warfare facility. It's as if the devil were checking on a pet project.
You're telling me that Satan, the devil, Satan, they're synonymous for the purpose of the conversation we're having right now?
No, absolutely
no.
Not.
They're
absolutely not.
All right.
No, Satan is somewhere else, and it's not physically, his being is not physically here on Earth, but his mind is in communication with the devil. Another angel,
wow.
Very powerful angel, that is here physically.
And you're telling me the devil is at a biological warfare facility, probably...
Occasionally there, making sure that things go well. It's as if he was overseeing at these unwitting participants making this batch of whatever they're making.
Is it Iran? Is that where it is?
I don't know. I actually didn't finish that work, Art. I know that the assassination that I mentioned is an Iranian at state level, but I don't know where this facility is.
I mean, we all imagine Iran or Iraq, perhaps Gaddafi, maybe Syria. Which is harboring quite a few terrorists right now. Syria would be probably a pretty good candidate.
Well, in my business, we don't go into a problem armed with any preconceived notions.
Yep.
We go in clean. So having identified this pet project of the commander-in-chief of the Dark Force, the devil, here on Earth, we have to do more work. For instance, the tape trainees, the people who have been trained in technical remote viewing and tape, there's shortcuts that they have been taught to take to be able to identify the country of origin.
Mm-hmm.
What is the target country? For instance, now you can't do this in basic training in remote viewing. You can only do it if you know how, and that's taught in intermediate skills. You can sketch the symbol of the flag that's associated with the country, because symbols are very powerful to the unconscious,
yes.
As Carl Jung knew.
Sure.
And the symbols can be sketched, and then you can go through a flag book, and you can look for the flag. And that's one of the shortcuts that you can take in addition to describing the terrain, the geography, the physical characteristics, the lay of the land, as well as the facility itself.
The other day, and I think this could be related, Ed, let me ask it my way. The other day our president said that it was time that we were going to be attacked, he felt, there was a high probability by biological chemical weapons. And the president is recommending we stockpile vaccines. And I thought, what odd timing for the president to have said that. In view of what you have said, it's kind of like the president knows.
The president does know. And this was, I was in this business before, this biological warfare business, as an intel officer, very high levels of this government. And I know that that would be an impractical thing to do. And I'll tell you why. Because all it takes is just a little tweaking of an agent, and then your blocker or your vaccine is ineffective.
Right.
It's a lock and key situation.
I know.
And there, unless you actually know the specific agent, you're not going to be able to develop a blocker, a monoclonal antibody to test for, those kinds of things, unless you've got to know the specific agent. Tweak the active end, the peptide group that plugs in and starts to destroy our cells.
Right.
Tweak that just a little bit, and the lock doesn't fit the key anymore.
That's right. And then there'd be a big race. And if the organism was fast enough, we'd lose that race.
Yeah, it's the old appellation, the poor man's H-bomb. It really is. It is a good weapon of mass destruction. There are some agents that are extremely effective and extremely virulent. They are toxins. These toxins can be many more times more virulent than a contagious virus or bacterium.
Yeah, I know. The United States, it is rumored, back channel, told Iraq during the last big one, that if they used biological weapons or chemical weapons, we would respond with nuclear weapons. But Ed, if a plague began spreading in some major city and quickly began spreading across this nation and the face of the globe, who are you going to bomb? Where are you going to aim your ICBMs?
That's exactly why the devil appears to be sitting on, as a pet project, a biological warfare facility for just that reason. Because, for instance,
great,
if you don't know, then what would be the backlash in Israel of just this assassination if the Israelis were not sure of who masterminded it and carried it, executed it?
Well, if it was
it would be a clampdown. It would be a restriction.
At the very least, I would also expect the Mossad to begin planning an assassination of their own. As we well know, they do that. They don't put up with crap. If somebody shoots at them or assassinates somebody, as we well know, they don't hesitate to return it in kind.
That's why these plans are fairly brilliant, because it turns up the burner. It amps up the level of hatred and retaliation to the point where war happens. And that is the greatest success.
A war that begins
satanic forces
in the Middle East?
Because of the amount of hatred there. Northern Ireland, for instance, has a lot of hatred, but not near as much, because the amount and the force of the hatred in the Mideast.
Oh, I know about that. I was in Israel, and there are, Ed, the one thing that hits you when you step onto Israeli territory is the nation is a gun. I mean, all you see are guns everywhere. I mean, up and down the street, it's Israelis don't even blink. I mean, but there are submachine guns over just about every shoulder that you walk by. For an American who's not used to seeing it, it's unnerving for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But that nation is armed to the teeth. And we all know they've got nukes out in the desert. So, could a war unfold as a result of something unleashed like that? Oh, yes. How quickly would that escalate to a big war? What do you think?
Well, I think that the extremists, the Muslim extremists, still have to gain more adherence to their cause. And it's the Taliban in Afghanistan and the PLO and a lot of the extremists need more people to support an all-out attack, an all-out jihad on Israel. They don't have that right now. But I don't know how fast those hatreds could be spun, especially if a nuke was popped or if retaliation was the tantamount to a nuclear weapon being delivered by Israel against a neighboring country.
I mean, that's the way the Bible suggests it, you know, Armageddon will unfold.
Yes, and I tend to suspect that is going to happen. That's why this project of mine was so demoralizing, because it doesn't appear that there is any escape, and in fact, the devil, satanic forces, are really playing a minor part.
And the devil, well, minor, I don't know, the devil...
They are catalyzing something that is going to happen. They essentially are the catalyst for the human part of the quickening.
All right.
The social part of the quickening.
The devil at a biowarfare facility somewhere, we don't know where. Do you have any sense of how far along in the project this biowarfare facility is? In other words, how close are they getting to completion?
I don't know. It's quite easy to find out for us. This is just business as usual for us, and it was just one of the things that fell out of this project. If we turn our attention to that, it wouldn't take long at all to determine where it is, who is running it, even if they're somewhere else geographically, and the kind of agents that they are either researching, producing, or both. How are they weaponizing the agents? Are they delivering them up to a terrorist organization in thermos bottles? Or are they putting them in warheads, on Scuds, those kinds of things? It's pretty easy to do that for us. Right? That's just old hat.
And
I did not have the time, and that's not something I would do by myself. I would commission all of our company's viewers to do that. Should I do that?
I think you should do that, yes.
Sure
do.
Yep, I think so too.
But Satan, the entity Satan... A lot of people are going to be quite surprised that you said that you didn't say that Satan was more of a concept, but Satan is actually...
An entity that is different than the devil. They are both angels. They are both very, very powerful angels.
Do they...
At least, Satan itself is an extremely beautiful being. Extremely beautiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful beyond belief. Because that's the way angels are. But when you remote view an ordinary angel, they have a warm, brilliant glow. This one has a crystalline, cold glow.
Hold it right there, Ed.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. To Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 29th, 1999.
Good morning. You might take just 1 second out and listen to the words you're about to hear. Listen.
And we still have time, much to get by. Every time I think about it, I want to cry. Was born to the devil, and the kids keep coming. So when is it even the time to be young?
And as it goes on, it actually gets even better. So, one of these days, we'll sort of lay the whole thing out for you. This, of course, is Heart. And it's a constant comment on the status of humanity. And you've got to bear in mind that it was actually done some time ago. Listen.
The love is the evil breeze touching the skin. The gentle sweet singing bleeds in the wind. The whisper that calls after you in the night. And kisses you here and there in the night.
And there is more.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Listen, I think I should read you this, and I have some independent verification of it, because my network is in Oregon. See if this resonates with you in Oregon, all right? Maybe it's not even true, but I think it is. Art wanted to let you and maybe all the listeners know there is a very strong virus hitting people in Oregon. The symptoms begin with a vague feeling of uneasiness and disorientation, then rapidly go to vomiting and diarrhea. A college student at one of our universities and several of her friends have caught it. One very healthy young person nearly died before she was hospitalized. This isn't anything to mess with. Within 24 hours, a person suffering this will be severely dehydrated and possibly incoherent, like the flu wasn't bad enough. So we've got some interesting things percolating right along, apparently just from nature, Ed, much less what anybody may be cooking up in a lab for us somewhere. And that, you know, that goes back to the stories I was doing earlier about the thousands of birds falling out of the sky, about the death of mammals that are beginning to get higher and higher in the chain, and we sort of listen to all this on a daily basis. It doesn't exactly quite sink in, but it's happening all around us, all around us. Anyway, Ed, everything we should know about Satan, we should try and fit into this half hour, because I want to go to the phones, but about your experience. For example, how many times, you did this over what period of time?
5 weeks.
5 weeks. How many times did you get that close in those sessions? And how long did it take you to get where you wanted to go in terms of information or presence?
Each remote viewing session is about 45 minutes. That's what we teach, and that's what we do, even as experts. No more than an hour.
And even alone, you adhere to that yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the protocols are rigorous, and there is no flexibility. You go right by the book every time,
okay,
whether you're an expert or a beginner. That's what makes this work. Otherwise, it would not be usable, wouldn't be consistent. So I worked that specific search term, that is Satan, the same way you would work when you would run an internet search. I worked that about 7 times before determining that I was dealing with an individual entity, an entity instead of an idea, and so that's what it took. So about 7 hours of work on that specific search term.
What should everybody out there know about Satan? What was the single most important fact or group of facts that you found in this remote viewing?
The most important single fact was that that entity, who is not here on Earth, is still in communication with its key subordinate, who is on Earth. And that key subordinate is another angel, although not quite as bright. And that angel is the angel that we call the devil, has been referred to throughout history as the devil in many religions.
It's always hard to ask because you've always told me, and everybody else has too, that putting dates or timelines to developing situations is very, very difficult. Is there any way to put one to this?
It's difficult because mind is outside of time, and we work in the area of mind. Unless the traditionally, What we have found in technical remote viewing is that if you append or qualify the search term with the idea of the present time,
yes,
that works. You know what's going on present time. The idea of next in terms of temporally, the idea of a next event,
yeah,
that
right,
works.
Right.
That works too. Other than that, we're not sure where we are in time, but sometimes that's good enough. I mentioned the next use of a nuclear weapon any number of times, and
yes,
I'll
have.
Work on that.
Yes, you have. Concept of a lost soul or a soul that is actually gone is a hard one for people to discern because we've always toyed with the idea that our soul is energy which cannot be destroyed, cannot be dispersed, cannot be virtually made into nothing. And you're saying that's an incorrect concept.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's a poor analogy, but it's the best one that I can think of at the moment. If a gardener or a farmer harvests a crop,
right.
Not all of the crop is harvested. A lot of the green part of the plant goes back into the soil.
That's right.
If a gardener is selective, he or she harvests only those crop, that part of the crop that they're interested in, the best of the crop.
That's right.
And not only does a lot of the green part, the body of the crop, go back into the ground, but many of the kernels, many of the seeds go back, too, that the garden has chosen not to take. That's the analogy. The harvest, not everybody gets harvested.
Not everybody gets
harvested. Not all souls become harvested.
You know, you have no idea how close you're beginning to sound to John Lear. I used to interview John years ago, and toward the end of the interviews that we were doing years ago, he frequently began to talk of the human body, the physical body, as merely a vessel. He kept calling us vessels. And he, too, was in deep discussions about the soul, as you are now. And there are a lot of striking similarities between what you're saying and what he said.
Well, that's the end game for whoever put us here.
The end game, yeah.
The end game is the soul. We're only around for however many of decades, and then we're gone. We get pretty arrogant. We think we know it all, but that mind of ours dissipates. The soul does not. That energy that you talk about, called the soul, that gets reinstalled in another vessel somewhere else.
So then, if what you have found of Satan and what can occur to our souls in the path of evil is true, then there really is no hell per se, is there?
Not in the traditional Christian
sense
description.
In other words, a conscious torturing of what was this evil soul.
Well, that's real, but that exists right here on Terra Firma.
Here on Earth.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Don't have to go far to find that. Rwanda is a good place. How about Kosovo?
Yeah, I know. As a matter of fact, there is another headline. I was seeing headlines indicating that President Clinton and the UN are now saying we're ready to go in. We're ready to go in unless this stops right away. And, of course, there were another 18 killings to punctuate this, but we're apparently getting the military machine cranked up for another one, this time Kosovo.
So one of the reasons why Project Starman has become paramount to me now is because I think that we are on the road to destruction, and that it is a fait accompli. Ecologically, it certainly is, and I don't think you would argue with me there.
No.
We're going down, and we'll have a chance to rebuild after this falls apart. And I don't know how many years that will take to completely fall apart, but it will fall. When we rebuild, we're going to rebuild with the same fallible minds. We're still ourselves, unless we re-engineer ourselves somehow quickly. And that's not going to happen. So my idea is...
The same mistakes again and again.
The same mistakes again. It's like, how many times has it happened in the past? Who knows? But, I mean, the wiser thing to do would be to find some mentors, to acknowledge that we're not going to do it right, and to find some mentors that are not either not human or are evolved enough to be able to say, we did that and failed, and this is what you're doing wrong, and don't do it again. And that's why I think that Project Starman, SciTech's Project Starman, is so important.
Where?
I think that in the interim, these mentors,
yes,
they may be angels.
Where are they now? Why aren't they part of the battle now? If we're coming up on this critical time, virtually Armageddon, then where are the angels?
Well, man's mind made all these decisions. We made decisions to do certain things, and I don't think that they could abrogate our free will, which they would have to do if they intervene every time. There would be no free will. That would be equivalent to, in its own way, to a totalitarian dictatorship. So they stand by, allow us to make the mistakes.
Yes, but on the other side, I ask you, I said, if we have free will, then why don't we have any chance of collectively stopping what's about to come? And you say, well, it can't be stopped. It's gone too far.
It's too big. It has reached the threshold. We're brilliant beings. We're intellectual. Our minds are brilliant.
Yeah, but that contradicts what you said in some ways about free will. Either that or it simply addresses a reality.
Right? No, free will is as individuals, aren't we? We as individuals have free will. But we get caught up in these currents, in these big streams that pull us along. And sweep us along, for instance, even in terms of ideas. If I told you that I think it would be a good idea to have a university of the planet where angels are the instructors, that's an idea that really is ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. If that doesn't sell well right now, but on another planet, it could be par for the course. In fact, that federation out there that we talk about a lot.
Yes, sir.
It isn't just material beings. It's these invisible beings, too, side by side, two different types of creatures working together.
I hear you, but the implication of that is that there is finally a breakdown between the veil that separates us from direct, any sort of what we would consider direct contact with good or evil on the other side. There is some sort of veil there, and what you're suggesting is there are places where that has broken down.
Not only suggesting it, I'm saying that there is at least one place that I know of where it has indeed broken down. That's why this project is so important to me. Because I think in terms of rebuilding, and these have to be our teachers. They know us well.
So you're no longer thinking of avoidance at all. You're thinking of the day after.
That's correct. Rebuilding. But rebuilding, I'm on a recruitment mission for teachers. I want mentors that can teach us well. Can teach our spirits as well as our minds. Our minds have done really well. We've got great science, great weapons of war, but our spirits need to be educated. And our minds far outran our spiritual potential. That's my feeling. And I think that these entities can teach our children, our grandchildren, perhaps us, if we're not a lost cause, they can re-instruct us and teach us a better way.
And the way to reach them, one way, remote view?
Remote view is is to find them on their terms. If you go to a place where they are at, these are invisible entities, and you feel that there's something there, but you don't know what it is, that's not good enough. A harmonic convergence is not going to do it. You've got to be able to become aware of what they are, not only where they are.
Well, let me say this, Ed. I think I've interviewed just about all of the big remote viewers in the country. And there is one point that every single one of them has agreed on. Joe, I mean, I wouldn't even mention the names, just all of them. And that is that at some point in every interview I've done with a remote viewer, I've asked them if they have encountered entities that are non-human. And to the man, they have all said, absolutely. I haven't talked to one remote viewer who has never encountered an entity.
Angels are teachers of men as well as messengers. Yeah, all religions say the same thing. Angels are teachers of men. And I think we're going to need them as teachers. Now, the trick is, where are they? How to get to them? And
yes.
I'm not talking about mystery schools where there's a human that promulgates allegedly angelic information.
Mm-hmm.
Humans at the kind of school that I'm talking about should be nothing more than janitors and groundskeepers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about direct contact with angelic beings at a place.
What would be required, do you think, to achieve that?
At least one thing, knowledge of where they are and where they intend to meet you, the meeting ground. That is at least required. Above and beyond that, I'm not sure at this juncture. But I do know of one place, and that deals with Project Starman, because I think that Project Starman was originally intended to contact advanced, at least technologically advanced, races that were out in the stars, amongst the stars.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have found is that in locating this spot, the contact is mediated by angelic beings that are resident here on Earth. Go the idea of the Federation being both angelic species as well as material beings, not just material beings, a la Star Trek. Now, those ideas are really, those are wild ideas.
They are.
They are wild ideas. But they could be very commonplace if we were, say, 100 years or 200 years in the future or in another planet where people say, well, of course. But we can't outrun our culture, our society. This time, however, when everything breaks down, we can outrun whatever we want.
Well,
everything changes.
I do believe.
All the ideas change.
I saw The Day After the other day, and during that movie, it's going to run on HBO this next month. You definitely want to catch it if you never have. There was a man in that who quoted Einstein who said, I have no idea how World War III will be fought, but I know all about World War IV. It'll be fought with sticks and stones.
Let me give you a little information about World War III. The idea of World War III that many of us have had is a nuclear war. But I will tell you, I think I mentioned this once before, a couple of years ago on your show, that is not allowed. And it never was. One or two nukes, yes, maybe. An all-out nuclear conflagration.
Not allowed?
Not allowed, because it sterilizes the garden for a long, long time.
There actually was once a book called The Jesus Factor, Ed, and it suggested that at the moment of an all-out nuclear war, what would happen is the devices actually would not work.
Pretty close to the truth. Of course, you know, we don't have any, and in SciTech, we don't have any monopoly on the truth. The truth leaks through, or as my vice president likes to say, there's a dribble-down effect. And it dribbles down, and it comes out in fiction and in drama. And that's very close to the truth. In fact, there have been cases where there was intervention. I know of at least two cases where angelic-type beings really shut down a missile test. a warhead test.
Well, you know, some have said that UFOs did that sort of thing, and that's actually been documented. Hold on, Ed. We'll be right back. And when we come back, we're going to open the phone lines, folks. Here we go.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 29th, 1999.
Good morning. I think this sums it up pretty well. Hi, Art. I just had to tell you, I don't think I've been this spooked since the night Harlot was on. How do we protect ourselves if Satan is so good at tricking and impersonating Jesus and angels? Is there any way to know the truth when confronted in the end times? Not this spooked since Harlan was here.
Take Coast to Coast AM with you anywhere on your mobile phone. CoastToCoastAM.com can be conveniently accessed on your iPhone and most Android platforms, which means that you are never without your Coast to Coast AM fix. If you're a Coast to Coast Insider subscriber, you can listen to the show live in the middle of the night or previous shows 24/7. Plus, you can browse all the great photos, videos, and news stories. Keeping up with Coast to Coast AM has never been easier with our Coast Insider service.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit CoastToCoastAM.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at CoastToCoastAM.com. You are listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 29th, 1999.
Hey, listen. Somebody just wrote to me and said, I'm having trouble finding the Millennium Master photo. The one I took tonight, it's on my webcam. You go to my website at the top, you'll see where it says webcam. Click on that and you'll see it. And maybe a couple of you out there could collect that photograph for me and send it to, on the East Coast, send it to Curtis Sliwa. Tell him it's from Art, for him. On the left coast, send it to Mr. KABC and tell him I said it's from Art. Okay? That photograph. Grab it off there, I'm telling you. Valentine's Day is rapidly approaching. The American Gold Rose Company would like to remind you they've got, do they have a collection for Valentine's Day. Now, are you going to leave your Valentine in the lurch? A tear running down her beautiful cheek? Mentally thinking, heavens knows what about you? No, you're not. You're going to get her something. Why not a gold rose, a real rose, dipped in 24-karat gold? Here is the collection, classic rose, priced at $49.95, 11 inches long. Comes in a beautiful gift box, and it's been dipped in 24-karat gold. It'll always be, you know, right there at the zenith of its life. Then the Hollywood elite, the biggin, for $65... You send your special Valentine a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered right to their door in a gold presentation box. And, of course, you can go with the original rose, no leaves, simple, but dipped in 24-karat gold, nevertheless, $39.95, all three perfect gifts. And when you buy any two gold roses, you receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold on a gold-plated chain. It's all from the American Gold Rose Company. Call now, 1-800-458-7134. Don't forget your Valentine. Do not leave your Valentine in the lurch. 1-800-458-7134, 24 hours a day, 1-800-458-7134. Online, of course, at AmericanGoldRose.com. Right. Back now to Ed Dames, and I haven't been issuing my normal warnings tonight, Ed. I guess I just figured my audience by now, they know you. Got a lot of people would like to talk to you, Ed, with questions generated from a lot of what you've said, but judging from the mail I'm getting, you freaked them out pretty well tonight. I think this is one subject, it lurks in the innermost frightening recesses of everybody's mind, and so I think it touched them really hard.
It's funny to have used a former top secret military intelligence collection tool against an enemy in another dimension. I would have never predicted that.
It is funny. I never would have either. In all the years we've been doing interviews, I never would have predicted you would have done this. First time caller line, you are on the air with SciTex Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
That's a subjective question, but I mean pretty much all right.
Well, I was wondering, Ed.
Yes.
If you mentioned these two beings, the devil and the other one?
The other one I don't have a name for.
Okay. If they are listening to you right now, what would you say to them?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Why is that?
But that's the answer to your question.
No, I mean, she said, why is that?
Why would I say nothing?
Yes, why would you say nothing? If you actually could be heard...
Because I could have no... There's nothing I could say would have an impact, and I have no desire to engage the enemy in discussion.
How's that for an answer? And a pretty good one, too.
Yes, it is. Also, these beings, these angels, it is good that you believe in them, I think. I think that...
You say that as though you don't.
No, I do. I do. I think the problem with the public here is that most people don't believe in them, and that's why they aren't contacted or have no communication with these beings.
Very astute. Ed, you agree?
It may be the obverts also. It's the fact that the angels have say you need to be able to, in order to contact them, or in order to be close to them, in order to have any interaction above and beyond the miraculous, you need to be able to believe them and to know they're there. And we don't. We pay lip service to them.
It's really true. It really is true. You're right.
I think we're on a very, very primitive planet. That's my call, based upon taking a look around the cosmos in this galaxy and other places. This is a very, very primitive place, more than you would possibly believe.
Well, next time I want to go to Disneyland. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Good morning. Good morning. Going once.
Is that me?
That's you. You almost lost it. Where are you?
I'm in Gardner in Kansas.
Gardner, Kansas. All right.
That's just south of Kansas City.
Indeed.
Indeed. I wanted to throw something at Ed.
Well, you can't do that over the phone. I mean, in person you might hit him with a rock or something, but over the phone.
Well.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I can't hit anything I throw at anyway. With the way that he was using the word soul and spirit as if they were one.
Yes.
And I wanted him to consider the idea that they're separate, and that you have a body and you have a soul and you have a spirit, where your soul is your mind and your will. And also, when
I did not intend to mean that they are synonymous. I certainly do not believe that at all.
Okay, can I?
But I do not agree with you that the soul is a composite of mind and body.
All right, next question.
Well, it's like the first thing is like, let there be light. And then everything that you touch, see, whatever, it all dances to the speed of light.
Huh.
And I was told that the way the angels, they actually have to slow down in order to enter this material realm to show up.
That's
when
correct.
When they go out, they speed up. And that, you know, your astral projection, that you're speeding yourself up. And therefore you can manifest elsewhere. And sometimes it's not a good idea.
You know that she just said the line, let there be light. And I guess there was. And the only thing I would wonder is, I wonder if that was a real bright, white, cold light.
Can't answer that question.
And if you could, I think I would avoid it anyway. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello.
Good morning. I'm receiving you over WTAM Cleveland, even though I am in extremely rural Pennsylvania.
Okay.
My question is, what about card-carrying Church of Satan members? In your view, no pun intended, maybe literally, can they change their minds, or will their souls be lost and extinguished, as you mentioned before? And if they can change their mind, do you feel that Christianity is the only out?
All right, well, one at a time.
I don't think that the card-carrying members of the Church of Satan, all of them, or most of them, are committing any sin. I don't think they realize what they're doing. And if that's the case, then they're not conscious of committing sin. The ones that do, if there's torture of children involved or torture of adults, they are knowingly committing sin. And those are the ones who are endangered or endangering themselves.
So they would need to come to a realization that they were...
I mean, I think it would be similar to myself as a young soldier carrying a gun and pointing it at another human being.
So
pulling the trigger for my country.
It all has
mom's
to do
apple
with...
pie and all of that. That was an error in judgment, and it was evil. But the ignorance, it did not condemn my soul.
So it all comes down to intent, right?
I think it comes down to it's in mind choices And knowledge has a great deal to do with it. Knowing. The more conscious you are, the more real you are, the more responsibilities that carries with it to do the right thing and to not make an error so bad that it becomes a sin. That's how the soul is built, on that kind of character. The bigger the choice, the more the boost, I think.
So it's not, again, in your view, it's not necessarily fundamentalist Christianity that would be the winning choice, so to speak.
The Christianity implies a church. For instance, Christ didn't come here advertising a church. He had a message. I didn't hear anything about a church.
Ditto.
Men built the churches. Men's minds first.
Yeah. Good point. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. I agree with that. I really agree with that. I'm not a church goer. We constructed the churches. We constructed the dogma for the most part, and all the little rules and the
all of us. I think that we harbor and here in the West a great dislike of Muslims, but nowhere in the Quran and nowhere did you ever hear in the prophets Muhammad's words the kind of thirst for blood that we ascribe to the Muslim extremists today.
Ed, let me read this to you and ask you this question. It's one that's going to be on many minds out there. From Vancouver, B.C., Dan asks, does Ed think it possible that if Satan is such a powerful entity, that perhaps you, Ed, have been used as a puppet and fed false information? Now, that surely is something you must have considered.
Absolutely. Of course. Because my mind is a far weaker mind than an angel of that
mm-hmm.
degree.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it's a possibility. Am I personally afraid that it happened? No, I'm not. But is it possible? Yes, of course.
Interesting you would acknowledge that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Deems. Hi.
Hi. I don't know if I understand technical remote viewing very well, but it seems to me that it's not as specific as I was expecting it to be. From listening to your show for at least 2 years, it seems like he was saying a lot of things that I've heard on your show before, and anybody with half of an insight, it seems like that they know these things are coming, but it seems like if he can go to these different places or view these places, why is it more specific?
Well, let me give you an example. There's a question earlier tonight about the mass death of blackbirds in Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
That question, the cause of the death
right.
is unanswered. That's a specific question, and that's something that we can do quite well in technical remote viewing. What we're talking about tonight in terms of satanic dark forces are topical searches. They can only be done by expert remote viewers searching topics. And the topics are generally general terms,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of information that's associated with them, as opposed to a discrete, specific question of why those blackbirds fell out of the air, which may result in a number of different causes rather than just one. We don't know that yet.
Okay, so many other entities around that you can't actually pinpoint? Or I don't know, maybe I'm just being dense tonight or something, but I just don't, I don't understand it. I don't grasp it, I guess. I feel what you're saying, and everything you're saying.
In other words,
let me back up to
okay,
why
good.
I did this.
Good.
As a remote viewer.
Uh-huh.
As a military trained remote viewer. My threshold for wondering whether or not there was something at an esoteric, metaphysical, or supernatural, and the natural bleeds into the supernatural. My action threshold was children killing children.
Right.
recent events in the United States of many children killing other children, which was unprecedented. And I felt that there's something at work that I cannot see. And I assumed the existence of an unseen element, an idea or a force, which led me to speculate that perhaps it was evil and that perhaps there was intelligence behind it. So I began a research project to look into what might be going on, and using that as an action threshold. So it was actually a research project and not a specific set of targets.
Does that help you?
Yeah, that helps me a lot.
All right.
So for instance, if you had if your child or husband were possessed, you felt they were possessed by an entity, then technical remote viewing could get to the cause of why that person is behaving that way. It would not assume possession, even though you might feel subjectively that the person was possessed. We would go in and look at the cause for that individual behaving in a way that you describe as possession, but we just attribute to abnormal behavior. We go and look at the cause.
All right, hold it right there, Ed. You know, I'm still stuck with a cold, a bright, blindingly white, cold light. Let there be light, huh? Well, we're lit up, all right.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 29th, 1999. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Can't you feel it? It's going to be a very interesting year to be on the radio. Really interesting year to be on the radio. Again, I'm Art Bell. My guest is Major Ed Dames, SciTech's Ed Dames, and he will be right back.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night, but you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. for 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You are listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 29th, 1999.
All right, once again, SciTech's Major Ed Dames. And again, if you would like to order remote viewing tapes and do what Ed does, perhaps not go after Satan. I certainly wouldn't recommend that as an initial target for you. You might start with something simple.
That's correct.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a big operation. We have 10,000 students. I teach advanced skills on the Internet, and I teach that for free. And we have a lot of students, a lot of tape trainees.
10,000 people remote viewing. At one time, there was perhaps a core of remote viewers, of which you were one, in our military, and maybe the Soviets, and who knows who else, but not many could probably...
Actually, we do know who else. There were, as far as organized military teams, there were the Soviets. The Chinese had a small effort. It's a little bit larger now. And, in fact, the Chinese are the only ones doing it now.
My question was going here, Ed, and it is, now that we know of, there are 10,000-plus remote viewers out there. Have you come to any conclusions at all about the impact of that many people doing what once only a few were doing? Is there any impact or any change at all?
No, not yet. What's happening? I've paid attention to this with a lot of care. Individuals are doing and acting the same way I did and acted 15 years ago when I learned this for the first time. They're still in awe. They are still using it to look at the things that they want to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't. I don't see any big effect yet at the conscious level. At an unconscious level, there's something going on, but it hasn't broken through yet, objectively, to consciously, so that I can say, yes, this is happening here.
All right.
It will.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
fine.
Okay.
Where are you?
I'm calling from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
All right, KSTP.
Yes. My question is, one of the previous callers asked you about, you know, how do you know that this information is accurate, and you said that, of course, you don't, given that it could be, you know, it could be something that you're mistaking.
You can never rule out being tricked, is what he
said. Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. But given that scenario, and given that all the times I've heard people talk about the devil or Satan on the basic level that you're speaking of him or the entities on, there's this sense that somehow you do know something, though. You spoke of the veil. You know, that there's this idea that there's this veil that separates that world from ours.
Art mentioned that.
Oh, okay. But I thought you said
and
that there
what
was...
I said was that the natural world bleeds into the supernatural world. So
right.
It's really not a veil. It's sort of a bleed-through, for
okay.
instance.
Okay. But on some level, there is, whether we call it a veil or there is some separation, even if there is a trickle-down effect.
There's an overlap.
Okay. My question would be, since there does seem to be this understanding that there is Satan, nobody seems to have a problem with that, why is it that you would look at all of the scientific areas first? What you can perceive with your own natural senses, and you know, in a sense, this you are using your subconscious, but or your unconscious, I guess is what you said. But that's still your natural understanding on some level. Why is it that you wouldn't first look for what already is opposed to this in the world? Your comment before, you said that Christ did not preach the message of a church. I don't see how you can say that, because he did. As a matter of fact, he said that his mission to come here was to build a church. So I'm wondering where you got that information, or what you're basing that information on, that he was not here to build a church.
It isn't the church that we have today. It certainly is not that. It isn't the church, a portion of which in the number of centuries ago burned people at the stake. It isn't that church. That's not the church that Christ talked about. Not my Christ.
Oh, and see, that's what I'm saying. I fully understand that, but I've talked to so many different people about this now. I'm noticing a pattern with everyone. I mean, everybody has a little bit different take on it, but the one thing they all seem to be relying on is their own understanding or concept of the church. And see, it seems to me that if Satan really is as intelligent and brilliant as everybody seems to try to give him credit for, it would seem that his real mission, and it could take any form possible, would be to separate the soul from Christ. And I don't hear too many people focusing on that issue. I mean, and if you think about it, not passing any judgment, of course, but let's say that he has deceived you. Just by your making that statement, by your putting faith that you understand the historical church, he's already been successful, given that that were true. And that's one thing I find all the time, is that people are willing to put a lot of stock in their own understanding of what their natural reasoning is. And that's why I'm probably saying too much here. My real focus was the one question I think I got out there somewhat coherently, and that is, what makes you think Jesus wasn't here to build a church?
All right. Ed?
That's my call. That's just my call. I have a fallible mind. My words that reflect my thoughts are possibly very fallible. And that's what I said tonight. We can't trust human mind. We need better teachers. And I'm saying that angels are, as teachers of men, can do a whole lot better job than we did with ourselves and our children. I'm saying that mind is fallible. And that hatred is one of the key ways of separating the soul. In fact, it goes through our spirit first, and it chills the spirit, and it isolates the soul, so that God can't affect the soul anymore via spirituality. It is divide and conquer. It is exactly divide and conquer on the part of Satan and his lieutenants.
You have obviously shaken a lot of people up. Here's one of them, who asks, how would one of these entities that you've been speaking of steal your soul, or in effect tag it as a soul that eventually will be deleted?
As I mentioned earlier in the program, they can't do that. They don't own your soul. Your soul is yours and God's, the creator. But what they can do is cause you to make decisions that, as this woman just mentioned, separates the soul out and isolates it spiritually so that it becomes extinguished. And that is caused by, generally speaking, the stratagems that I see, that I've been able to detect, hatred, particularly hatred. That is one of the big ones, both as a thought and as a human emotion. The stronger the hatred, the worse the decisions, and the closer to doom and perdition one gets. That's simple. But that fell out of the work, and war is the key vehicle for accomplishing that on a massive level on the part of the angel that we call the devil.
Here's another very interesting question. Please ask Ed if, in his opinion, a reconciliation between God and Satan is possible. When that might happen? Could it happen? Would it cancel everything virtually as we now know it? could such a reconciliation occur?
I did think about that. I was think my thoughts are that the God that many of us know, especially as Christians, extremists, is a very merciful God and a very loving God. So this angel, the devil, and the angel Satan, mm-hmm. were children of this God. And I'm sure that he loves them as much as he loves you and I. But the problem is their minds are damaged and distorted so that they can't recognize that love, perhaps even hate the fact that they're loved. These are my thoughts. And they can't make the decisions that would allow them to accept that mercy and that love anymore because their minds became twisted and distorted because of the enormity of the sin. Mm-hmm. They had a great responsibility and they partook of a great sin. Those are just my thoughts.
Gotcha. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with SciTech's Major Ed Ames. Good morning.
Thank you so much. And Art, thank you for picking up the phone while it was ringing, because it only rings for about 2 minutes, and then this voice comes on and says, your party is not answering, and they disconnect you.
I know. Well, we broke up the phone company. Now we reap the... anyway, where are you?
I'm in Tempe, Arizona.
Okay. That's where my webmaster is, Keith Rowland.
Oh, wow. Well, hello, Keith.
Yeah, your neighbors.
That's right.
Anyway, fire away.
Okay. I have just two questions. One is, are you familiar with Hinduism, Ed?
Yes.
And you know that they believe that basically they put it in an analogy of four legs of a buffalo, and we are on the last leg of the buffalo, the age of Kali, and that basically what they predicted all through their texts is pretty much what you're saying here. And I just wonder, I work in the university, and I work with several of the Indian students who are Hindu, and I'm just curious, there's a sense about these people, there's almost, I don't know if you want to say chosen, but in tune with this, even though they may not can consciously acknowledge that, but they just the belief in all the different manifestations of God and carriers of his message. What do you think of that? Do you think that that is a possibility? Or do you think that could be true?
Well,
that they're a group that's more in tune with what you're saying, this whole coming up, than probably most any other group in the U.S. or the world?
I don't know. I just don't know.
All right. I thank you for the call, young lady. It was Jerry Falwell that started me on the Antichrist line the other day. He said that the Antichrist is alive and on earth now, virtually echoing what you said toward the beginning of the program, man.
As an infant, yes, a throwaway infant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
but this is a role to play that's very important, and I mentioned why that role is important.
Yes, indeed.
It's a Christian condition.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Ames. Hi.
Yeah, hi, this is John in Houston.
Hi, John.
Yeah, regarding the last facts you got, if God ever pardoned the devil after all we've been through, I would expect we should all get an apology from both of them, really, God and the devil. Anyway, my main question...
Unless we're equal, unless man is equal to those angels in God's mind.
Well, supposedly he created everything.
Then we jointly made decisions together. We shared. Remember, in the work that I've seen here, we're our own worst enemy. Our minds are our worst enemy. Satan, his resources are minimal. Just has to apply them in the right place to make to get the biggest bang for the buck.
What do you think the result would be if everybody on Earth remote viewed the devil at the same time? Would he be too
problematic?
I'll say.
Would he be outnumbered?
We might be outnumbered.
Might be a better idea to see if everybody prayed for the devil at the same time. That would be more interesting, I think.
And do you think there's any tie in with the UFOs, real quick, and I'll hang up and let you answer, with the devil?
Yes, I do. I think that some of the UFOs that we see are actually what I call and have for many years transcendental technologies. And there is a little bit of a tie-in, yes.
Demonic?
Maybe some. I'm not certain. We're returning, at least I'm returning, to the UFO problem. Project Starman is very important to me, and it's separate from the UFO problem. But let's face it, it's the spice of life. If you've got the kind of tool that we have and the expertise that we have, let's have a little bit of fun before we go down. And you and I both agree that's a darn interesting problem, the UFO problem.
It's. I spend a lot of time with it, as you well know. West of the Rockies, I think we have time for you. You're on the air with Major Ed.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Just fine.
Gosh. Okay. All right. First of all, I love your show.
Thank you.
Is that okay?
That's okay.
Can I say that all right?
You may.
All right. Now I'm throwing down the gauntlet here. I'm going to leave you guys with maybe a disclaimer. I say it's time that Major Dames and Peter Gersten go head-to-head with Walter Bowert, the author of Operation Mind Control, and Alex Constantine, the author of Virtual Government, subtitled CIA Mind Control Operations in America, which has some very interesting things to say about both of you, but mostly Major Dames, from pages 68 to 130. I'm saying...
Well, all right. Look, the audience... Sir, hold it. I will hang up on you if you don't be silent for a moment.
I'll
hang up. I'm warning you.
Remember when...
I'm counting to three. One.
Okay.
Good.
I'm being silent now.
Thank you. All right. Now, listen. Be calm. Take a deep breath. What is it in these books that is said about Major Dames that, or myself, that would cause you to say there should be a debate?
My structure for a debate would be Major Ed Dames and Peter Gersten.
Yeah, I already heard that. You already said this. I asked you what in that book calls for a debate. What do they say in that book that calls for a debate?
Well, we're running out of time. We're coming down.
We sure are if you don't get to it. So I'm asking you again, what is it they say that calls
Can
for
I
a debate?
Can I ask you one question, Art? Remember when Richard Hoagland went against Collier about the did we land on the moon, did we not?
Yes, yes.
Do you remember when he went against Doré?
Yes.
I'm telling you, if you had Peter Gersten and
you're wasting
Major
my
Dames
time. You already said this.
Versus
goodbye. Too bad I couldn't get him to get to the meat of what should have been said. And do you have any idea why there should be a debate?
I don't know who Peter Gersten is. I've seen his name on your website before. Alex Constantine is a conspiracy theorist par excellence. He's got about 2,000 names. Oh, God, he's got about 3,000 names of people in the government and the military who are part of any number of conspiracies, mind control, et cetera.
All right. Well, I guess the guy just couldn't answer the question, so he just kept coming back to the same thing. That's too bad. Well, listen, Ed, it has been a real whiz-banger, as usual. Ed, I don't know when the next show will be. You and I guess, will know when it should be, huh?
Yeah. We'll go after that BW facility, though.
Please, by all means.
I'll fax you some information on it.
Thanks, Ed. Good night, my friend.
Good night, Art.
Take it easy out there. From the high desert, I'm sorry. We're out of time. That's it. Night, all.